everybody.
Ooh, it's not quiet. When I was teaching, it never got this quiet. Okay, let's call this meeting to order. We're determining if we have a quorum.
We do.
Thank you. Is there any audience participation?
There is none.
Okay, as you can see, this agenda says revised, and I'm going to turn this over to Curtis, and he's going to explain why, and we're going to need a motion to accept this revised agenda.
Yes. So, okay, the top copy is the original. The second page should say revised. So earlier this week, I might ask ODOT or the City of Akron to help me with this. Earlier this week, a bid package was received for the Tiger Grant Phase 2, and that bid, the bid package, the amounts of that project were over the administrative modification threshold for ODOT to update the STIP. And our TIP. So what we needed to do was we needed to, if the project was going to be able to sell as soon as May, we had to, from an administrative perspective, approve this amendment in order to allow the project to go on the STIP, get authorization, and move forward to sell in a reasonable time. Unfortunately, because that happened this week, we didn't have it on the agenda, and so therefore, through our bylaws, anything that hasn't been introduced on the agenda before the meeting, a week before the meeting, has to be unanimously approved by the policy committee to be added to the agenda. So what we would be asking for would be a motion to accept the revised agenda and then approving it unanimously so that we could then discuss Resolution 6B, which would be the added element to this agenda. So I apologize for the confusion, but unfortunately, timing-wise, that's how things played out for this project. I don't know if ODOT or...
Let's see if we can get a motion in a second.
I'm going to approve the amended version.
I'll second it.
And say your name and community or community.
Marazzi.
Okay. All right. Anybody want to talk to ODOT on this?
Is there a vote?
No. We have a motion in a second. Now it's discussion.
I mean, I guess the only other thing I could add is there's no MPO monies of any kind in the project. It's the Tiger and 100% or the balance from the City of Akron. So it doesn't affect any of your funding sheets or any other project.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I forgot.
That's important.
Yeah, that is important. It does not include our money.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Ayes have it. So we will use the revised agenda. All right. Okay, minutes from January 24th, 2019. I'm looking for a motion to approve them.
Motion to approve, Linda Clark.
Is there a second?
I'll second, Bill Conti.
Are there any questions? All right, hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion's approved. Okay, Curtis, we have our financial progress report. Also, I need a motion in a second, but Curtis is going to speak on it.
Yes, so attachment 3A is our financial progress report. You see we've spent about 50% of the budget through the end of February. We're in strong shape. We will have a couple of, it looks like, some purchase items for some of the data that we use for analysis but we are basically on track and under budget for this report. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Do I have a motion in a second?
Jim Ballard moves to approve.
Paradise second.
We all know where you're from.
Yes.
Any more discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. All right. B is our technical progress report. Curtis?
Thank you, Mayor. So I'm going to hold off on talking about the state situation until item 5B, where we'll talk about the letters that we sent out and the process for doing that. I'll also give an update with that. So I'm going to hold off on that so it's all together. From a technical progress side of staff work, what we're doing now, and you'll see a presentation on the bike and pedestrian plan, we're starting to work on freight analysis, congestion analysis, safety analysis, all those things that lead into our long-range plan, which needs to be approved in 2020. So starting probably in May through the summer and fall and into winter of next year, we'll be working a lot on those products that prepare us for the long-range transportation plan, which we are looking out to 2045. So be looking at a good 20 years from now. So we'll all be have our jetpacks and autonomous vehicles by then, I'm sure. So
in my nursing home.
Yeah. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. And like I said, we can discuss the current situation with the tax at item 5B.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Letter C is AMAT's federal funds report, and that is attachment 3C in your packet. Dave Poulet.
Thank you. Since our last meeting in January, we had one large STBG project sold, and that is Howe Road in Cuyahoga Falls. That's sold for $4.8 million. That was one of our largest STBG projects that we were carrying. Construction is scheduled to start April 1st, 2019, and wrap up September of 2020. So there'll be some traffic disruptions up around the Chapel Hill area. And the other project that's it's not one of ours, but it's starting now, is the big State Route 8 project, the big pavement replacement project. I believe that started this week. And Curtis is real happy about that.
Yeah, my home commute's going to take about an extra 15 minutes every day, I think. So.
A couple other things I just wanted to touch on. We were supposed to have a project review meeting last Friday, but unfortunately it was canceled because ODOT had a last-minute meeting that the employees had to attend. So the next project review meeting is scheduled Friday, April 12th. And I'll be sending you out another notice as that time gets closer. And the other thing I just want to mention is we will be accepting applications this year. The CMAQ applications, the statewide CMAQ program, we'll be accepting those applications mid-summer. And then our STBG resurfacing and TASA projects, we'll be accepting applications in the fall. And a couple of things I might want to try to accomplish before we start accepting applications is possibly a funding application workshop for those of you who may be new to this, just kind of review how the process works and how to fill out an application. And one last thing I want to mention is with the new projects, if you need it done next week, don't apply, because right now we're scheduling projects in probably 2023. So we're scheduling a few years out now, because we're a little over programmed. So that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Dave, I guess the only thing I would add from our perspective, in your STBG column for 2019, the Canton Road 91 and 224 job we had with Joe Paradise, the engineer, that was awarded last Thursday.
Oh, good.
So that,
thank you.
Job will come off your list or move on your list.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's been on here a long time. So, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Is there any old business from the court body? Okay. New business. Letter A, draft bike and pedestrian plan. Daryl's going to speak on it. Discussion only.
Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you. We just want to continue our update to update all of you about our discussion about the update of the 2015 pedestrian plan as well as the 2016 bike plan. We are currently merging those two plans together, so that will be one plan called our bike and pedestrian plan. So the purpose of the plan, we want everyone to be able to walk or ride their bike, make it an integral part of their life. We want it to be safe, we want it to be effective and accessible. So some of the contents of the plan, first thing we have to do is evaluate our existing conditions out there, what we have out there right now, what needs to be maintained or redone. We want to examine the trends, not only within our area but also nationally. What's going on, what are people doing that is catching more interest in creating more cyclists and pedestrians. Then we want to look to make the connections that we already have through our existing transportation network, and consider recommendations for high-quality designs. And then we want to develop new strategies or use our existing strategies to do those recommendations. So in the plan, in this section, we go over, we have a bicycle network map. Again, I know you can't really read this up here, but in the plan, we'll have that very readable so that you can pick out maybe your own communities and see what's going on with the existing bicycle network. We'll also have our sidewalk inventory map. We're going to try to work diligently to add more of this, what sidewalks have been done for the last 3-4 years. But that takes a little bit more effort, but we'll have that map up there for people to look at in the plan. Some of the trends also that we have, about a little over 34 miles of bike lanes. We had about 24 miles since 2012. Since 2000, we have 28 miles of shared use paths. Ohio New Canal towpath makes up about 41 miles from north to south or southwest through Summit County. And then, of course, we have the Summit Metro bike and hike and the Portage hike and bike, which also have shared use paths. There's about a little over 126 miles of trails, and since 2015, we had about 18 miles that we added. We want to see a little bit less of that, as well as any signs that might say bike lane ends or path ends or anything like that. So you've seen the next slide, continuing on in this section. You've seen this in Dave Poulet's 2015-2017 traffic crash report. Again, it just shows you, you know, that for bicycling, although we went up in crashes and injuries, we went down in fatalities. And I think Dave did a good job in presenting that to you back in December. Same thing with pedestrians. He had this information, this data pulled, that he pulled. Adversely, we had less injuries and crashes, but we did go up in fatality for pedestrians. Also, there was recently an article in USA Today it talked about how pedestrian deaths hit a 28-year high. That's a trend we don't want to continue to go that way. It did link the SUV boom with that in the article, which I drive an SUV, and I was wondering why that was linked. And in talking to Dave, I don't know if we, you know, somehow we were figuring, or there's information out there that because an SUV sits higher, it'll tend to hit your upper part of your body, which would knock you over. And probably run you over and then therefore killing you. Whereas a smaller vehicle, then because it sits lower, would hit you in the leg, which then would damage your leg or at least maybe even flip you over. Either way, it's not good. And we certainly we don't want this to continue to rise.
Right. And I think what we would say is like, well, we just don't want pedestrians getting hit by cars. Because if a car is going 35 miles an hour, I don't think it matters what the front of the vehicle is. Your chances of survival are very, very low.
Yeah, right. It was a good discussion. Yeah. Ohio had a 15% increase in pedestrian deaths since 2017 and 2018. So what is Ohio doing? Ohio is, in addition to their social media campaign, they have these, which are out there on the table. Please take as many as you like. Some of them are magnets, some of them are decals. Slow down for pedestrians, look out for each other, and then the 3-foot law. So please feel free to take some of those. Of course, they also encourage a safe route to school, which they allocate $4 million annually to communities that do have those safe routes to school committees and the highway safety improvement. Okay. So what we used to do when we wanted to count a certain area for pedestrians and for cyclists, what we used to do is actually have to sit out in an intersection or on a trail and physically count people as they go by and then put them into an Excel sheet. Then we had MyoVision, which came along, which helped out tremendously with traffic. but it still would only would produce a video for pedestrians and cyclists, and we would have to put that video into the computer and actually watch the video and count as pedestrians and cyclists go by. So that's how we do. I don't expect to see the numbers, but this was an Excel sheet that we had done during for that counting for those reasons. Now, what we just, and what we're still learning about is what just came out as a new application called Streetlight Insight. It's a new application. We are, it does, obviously has the capability of counting cars, traffic, but it now has the capability of helping us count with pedestrians and cyclists as they go through a certain point. You can set up in the application gates so that you can actually count people as they're in cyclists as they're going through these gates. We can also do zones. I'll probably just turn it over to Curtis at this point. You can maybe go into it a little bit better.
Well, yeah, and I think the reality is it's not like a live count. What it is it's taking cell phone data that people are using, and then it'll give you, on an average weekday, this is how many people crossed this point, and or on average via sample size. It's an incredibly powerful tool. We found that it's actually relatively very accurate when it comes to vehicle traffic. As the sample size gets smaller, it's not quite as strong, but what it still does is it gives us, for like bicycles and peds, it gives us a way to kind of at least start to measure an estimate of what we think is going on our trail system, where you would never be able to, we would never, the way, obviously so much of trail usage is weather dependent or, day of the week or what, the school period, non-school period, all that in different places. So what this gives us a chance to do is start to get some kind of generated data that with a semi-high level of confidence we feel like can help us kind of analyze where our, where are our trails being most used, where would it make sense to potentially tie in to a trail because of that usage, or maybe even, if one trail is so much more popular than everything else, like a towpath, should we think about changing our policies to change that from, fund limestone to asphalt conversions or et cetera on our more popular trails. So we're still exploring this, but we think this data has has quite a bit of potential. As you all know, that the cell phone that you're carrying is definitely just a black box of data, that it's giving it, your data away to everything and everybody. And that's what this grabs or pays for and aggregates it, and then through algorithms estimates how many people are going through a place based on GPS location. So it's an incredibly interesting tool. ODOT actually is the one that purchased it, and as Daryl said, they added bicycle and pedestrian data recently as well, and so we've all been kind of getting to know it a little bit and hoping that ODOT continues their contract with it for next year. So, but it is not cheap. That data is very expensive, and I think ODOT's contract for the state is about a $2 million contract for that data. So it's what we're giving away for free when we're searching through our phone is being sold to sold for millions of dollars, and I want my cut. but if there's any questions about that specifically, otherwise, Daryl, I think you can keep on going.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. So then we go into the next section, just being types of bicycling facilities as well as pedestrian facilities. I think you all know, we go into great detail about these types of facilities and definitions and all that. And, one of the things that's not on here is signage. I think that's a very important part. Nowadays people want to know where they're going. That doesn't mean adding more signs, it just means having signs that, are very specific as to where they need to go or where they're headed or what an attraction is. I think that we did a good job with putting up a little more artistic signage welcoming people to the city, so stuff like that. Connectivity, we go here in this part just really about the trails. You can see what was done in the last couple years through Summit County. They also gave us what they intend to do in the future. We're not going to go through this. In the plan, it'll have all the details of this that Summit County submitted to us. Same thing with Portage County. They give us a quick idea of what had happened in the last couple of years, and then they gave us some future trail connections that they intend to do. But it really goes into great detail. Specifically, just want to point out the bridge and the boardwalk, some bigger items that they intend to do for their trail connections, which we think is a big project. So finally, some of the recommendations that we're recommending. Of course, we want you all to consider your own bike and pedestrian plans at the local level. We want to certainly help out with that, get into greater detail. We want to prioritize school areas and safe access to school. Currently, the only committee that I sit on is the Akron Public Schools Safe Routes to School Committee. So I'll throw out, if any of you know of your communities that have a Safe Routes to School Committee, I'd love to be a part of that, help out in any way that I can. Again, the Akron Public Schools Committee meets once a month. Again, I think in the future they're going to go down to Columbus and petition for some funding for some infrastructure. So, I think we all might have plans, say a Safe School plan, but if you have a committee, let me know. I would appreciate it. And then consider improvements, road diets, lane diets during resurfacing projects. I say road diets quietly because we are getting hit in the deep end with what the road diet is and what it does. Some people have a very opinionated idea of what that means, but there were a couple articles that were going back and forth about road diets, particularly I think you're talking about right now, Kenmore Boulevard.
What's a road diet?
Road diet is where you take, we'll say a three-lane, or it could be four-lane, and squeeze traffic down and remove maybe a lane by putting in a turning lane of some sort, and then on the side of that, adding a bike lane.
So the most traditional is taking a four-lane road and turning it into a three-lane road with a center turn lane. That's typically the and especially it has to do, and Dave could talk more about this, of, the hope is that it eliminates certain type of crashes that are due to the four lanes where there's weaving or, people turning left and not having that protection of a turn lane. While you're eliminating some of the capacity, you might see additional safety benefits, and it can provide you with additional right-of-way to do other things as well, because usually you're getting rid of a lane. So.
It can also be traffic calming.
Yes, traffic calming, absolutely.
And it can provide a connection, a bike lane, bike connection, or pedestrian connection. So then we also work high-quality facility designs, obviously. And then this is a big part, I think, what we want to do as AMAX. We really want to take the lead in promoting some of the events that are going on. There's a lot of cycling events, pedestrian events, walking events downtown Akron, or walking tours even. And we want to sort of be the hub for that, so that we can get that word out that something's going on in your communities as well. I think that's we want to create a newsletter. Or piggyback onto our newsletter about cycling and pedestrian and all those types of events so that we can get the word out. So what I think all of you know probably the things that we provide. We've talked about bike and brainstorms. Again, we are looking for a couple more bike and brainstorms. We did one in Talmadge last year, Green last year, Ravenna and Akron. But if you want to do another one, or if there's other communities that want to do a bike and brainstorm this year, please contact me. As you know, we're switching gears, and we have a conference that takes a little bit more planning, a little funding that would have to be involved with that. But if anybody's interested in those, please contact us. We'd love to do another conference here soon. We have our Connected Communities grant money that should be going, another round should be going out soon. Safe Routes to School, we talked about. Better Block events, we're seeing these come up again. We're going to be doing one in Akron, or the city of Akron will be doing another one. I talk like I'm from Akron because I worked for the city for 23 years, so sometimes I get a little bit confused. Akron's doing one, again, at Copley Road, I believe. Complete Streets, Great Streets, Copley Township, I believe, is looking at that complete streets ordinance and updating their complete streets. Again, you've seen these bike user maps. We are currently updating these. We don't have any right now. We're really low. We really did a good job in getting these out to all of our events or any of your events. When you do have the next batch, please feel free to let us know if you need some more. I know Talmadge is waiting for a bunch when we get that updated. And also, additionally, we did do a Trailblazers guide in Akron, which really consisted of the University of Akron and downtown Akron. Took a little bit of funding from the Knight Foundation, but you know, if there's an interest in your community to have a map very detailed for your downtown or your community, please let us know. We'd love to help out with that. James Walk, again, I think we talked about that in previous meetings. Again, this year it's May 3rd through the 5th. We're looking for leaders. We're looking for people that just want to walk and talk. I know Kent is already on board with, I think, someone that's writing or has written a book. So if you know anybody that's in your community, it doesn't have to be yourselves. If there's anybody that you know that wants to share some of their insights, good or bad, and take a walk during that weekend, please let me know. And then we have our Citizens Involvement Committee, which we're always looking for topics to, you know, for our, for the public that shows up to our meetings. So if you have an interest in that, we did one in January in Green, but if you have an interest in that also, please get a hold of us. With that, is there any questions? Okay. Comments?
Anybody have any questions for Darrell? Great job, Darrell. Thank you. Much appreciated. Okay, new business 5B. Curtis is going to discuss the letters that we sent out endorsing the gas tax and where we are right now with that.
Yeah, so for the members that either weren't here in January, you know, or for those of you that maybe haven't been as tied in terms of what's happened the last month, in January, this policy committee had voted almost unanimously, minus one abstention, to authorize the chairwoman to write a letter supporting a new gas tax increase for infrastructure. And the thought was that there's a new governor, this is the right time to do it, et cetera. What we didn't do, and I blame myself for this, is to take into consideration the timeline of ODOT's transportation budget, which is due by the end of March, March 31st. And so as the process was heating up and we had the governor's proposal of 18 cents, and then the House began discussing the bill, I reached out to the chairwoman and said, I think our committee would appreciate it if we just take the bull by the horns, support what the governor's put out, because we wanted to make sure our letters and our voice hit the House committee, the House, the Senate committee, and the Senate, as well as the administration before this meeting today. So we thought it was critical to get that message out while they were still discussing the proposal. We, I think we originally had said in the letter that, or when we wrote the email letting everyone know we were doing this, we said, oh, we're going to give you guys a week to give us feedback, but then we found out the House was possibly even voting on it sooner, and so we said, okay, if you're really concerned, let us know. The only thing we received were positive feedback saying, yes, do it, send it. And so I think that gave us the confidence to say, you know, we know this is what our committee wants us to do. I don't know, Chairman, if you wanted to add anything on that.
No, we should have asked for about 28 cents or 38 cents.
Yeah, maybe it would have been
dwindled
down. Should
have been like a kid asking for all the candy.
Yeah. And I guess the sad thing that's happened, and so for those of you that aren't as up on it, so it did go through the House Transportation Committee, and they whittled it down to 10.7 cents on commercial or on regular unleaded fuel, but they raised it to 20 cents on diesel fuel. It averages out to like the equivalent of 14 cents per gallon. When we had sent out some stuff to each community saying this is how much you'd receive, it was roughly about, our estimate was about 72% of what DeWine's proposal included was. So I think in Akron's case, you know, the 18 cents was $4 million additional. And with the House case, it was went down to $3 million, essentially, or something around there. I think, unfortunately for the county engineers, I think you guys get 1/88th no matter what, or no matter what, whatever the percentage is. So you probably could reduce that by 72% as well. So it went through the House, and the House was where there seemed to be a lot of momentum. And it's since sat in the Senate and stalled. So there was a lot of testimony in the last week, and my understanding was that the Senate was very stoic in the way that they treated the testimony. And there were comments coming out from some of the Senate leadership saying, well, it's not going to be 10 cents. It's not going to be 10 cents. We're not doing that. It's not going to be this high. And yet, still, when they proposed the first round of amendments earlier this week, they didn't touch the gas tax amount, and they didn't touch the transit value amount, that was the kind of the two amounts that have been the most discussed. And so what now has happened is that supposedly they were meeting at 1 o'clock today, and the optimistic person would say, well, they're working to get those last few votes to make sure that they get to 10 cents, and that's why we haven't heard anything. The pessimistic perspective is they're at zero, and they're trying to get it to 4 cents, 6 cents, 8 cents. Yeah, Mayor.
We were trying to hire him. You know, my feeling is that we, as mayors, get on our local representatives and senators, and I've got mine, and I'm sure everyone has their own, and, you know, tell them the real problems that we have. You know, we provide the cities and municipalities in Ohio provide 80% of all the employment in the state, and we have suffered, and the counties and local government have suffered with the lack of local government funds for the last number of years, since 2010, and we've got to take care of our roads and infrastructure, and we just need this tax. And the point of it is that we're not, if we do this, we're all the surrounding states are higher than ours. I think Pennsylvania is like 38 cents they passed, and I was over there skiing this winter, and I know that, you know, I got my tank full here in Ohio and went back and forth. But the point of it is that, you know, we really need, you know, this isn't extravagant money, and I think this kind of theory, and by the way, I'm Republican, and the thing that you're going to, you know, tax and spend, this is something we have to have as communities. It comes down to a safety issue, too. Roads and bridges are deteriorating, and infrastructure within our communities is difficult, you know, is tough. And we've increased our income taxes in our community to 2.25, and many never been up to 2.5. And I think some of the communities up by Cleveland are as high as 3%, and that's a burden on the people that, you know, that live in these communities and we're living and work. So I just feel that we ought to, each mayor, write their own representative and see if we can do any good to do this. And,
yeah, unfortunately, you're preaching to the choir here,
yeah.
And they do not care what we say. When I call and talk to our guys, men and women down there, yeah, we hear you, we know, but it comes down, they want to get reelected, unfortunately, and I'm elected official too, but, you know, they're afraid to make that step to go out there and do that, and that's just unfortunate, because we know we need the money. Everyone knows we need the money. They know we need the money, but yet they still cut and cut, and we have to raise our income tax to cover the costs that we're losing.
So I think they're going back to Senate will vote, and then it's going to go back to
a conference.
It'll go to conference, and then they'll discuss it some more.
I mean, at this point, you know, like you said, you can continue until those votes are all cast. You can continue to, you know, badger, but I tend to agree with Mayor Klein is that you know, even for us, there are larger elements at work. I mean, a 6 cent increase, you know, if you calculate that for ODOT's portion, it might not even cover the debt service that they're currently going to have. You know, and that what's interesting about that debt service doesn't even include the amount from the turnpike, which is being paid through bonds. So much of what we've done the last you know, 15, 20 years has been sort of kick the can. And I think I shared this attack, you know, because we were talking too about the inflationary element of this, and right. which has been kicked out now. That's not even under consideration from the Senate. But we were talking to State Rep. Romer out of the Richfield area, and you know, he said, "Oh, I'm proud that you know we got rid of that inflation thing because it's up to the legislators to keep ODOT in check." And you know, my sort of pushback was, well. But, you know, at the federal level, you know, we have been dealing with this since 1993, and there's been no political courage to increase that tax. You know, and that's the concern on the state side, is that if you finally get the courage to do it, like, you know, do it the right way so we don't have to come back and ask every 2 years. Because, and I think if you go back, well, what ODOT, I guess, should have been saying every 2 years is, we need another 2 cents. We need another 2 cents, you know. And I think, so I think unfortunately what we see as AMATS is just the local need, you know, and whether it's 40% of that or 45% of that, which is what the House bill was, you know, that is money that can go into everything from salt to potholes to resurfacing to large capital projects, you know, that it just doesn't seem to, as much as we say it, it doesn't seem to resonate at the at the state level that much.
I'm sorry, but... You know, everybody sitting around here is looking at it one way. Mayor Klein's right. You can't talk to these people logically, rationally. They don't listen to that. They're only worried about politics and getting reelected, and they're going to do what they're going to do. We need to find somebody to keep the legislature in check. That's what we need to do.
Well, I'm going to meet with the governor next week, so if you guys want me to say anything to him.
The governor to sponsor
yeah. The governor stood up and did the right thing.
He did. It's really great, but it's going nowhere. But we'll keep fighting.
Absolutely.
We're
you know, one thing I would
say
is
the governor that's willing to stand
yeah.
up now.
Yeah.
The last 8 years, you had someone who.
Unfortunately,
okay. Unfortunately, that created part of the problem we're in right now.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you think even if they pass something very minuscule, the one thing is the 5 cents for the registration that they're putting on? It's
yes.
not like they're actually putting money on; they're just allowing the community
right.
to ask.
Yeah,
them.
And the Senate
think
pulled.
That has,
they
still has legs?
They pulled that out of the
yeah.
bill. They pulled that out of the
yeah,
Senate,
the Senate
bill already. I mean, it's still in the House. What we'll be curious about is when it gets to conference. You know, there's going to be some push and pull, but, you know, the Senate really pulled out quite a bit of that side, any kind of, you know, a lot of regulation stuff it pulled out with, like, scooters and things like that, but it also pulled out the $5, additional $5.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So we'll keep you updated. I mean, you know, anything we hear, we'll continue to, if we get more analysis or more comparison documents, we'll send them out to you as well, but, you know.
Fighting.
Yeah.
All we can do, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Question.
Oh, sorry.
Let's talk about what we've done in the past. Do you want to give Chairman Beshear the authority to speak on behalf of AMETS when she meets with the governor and support them full
volume? So in my agenda that I sent off today, I did say that I'm chair of AMATS and I want to talk more about this tax. So I already did that. If you guys want to vote on it,
executive privilege.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right. Anything else? Okay. Let's move on to resolutions. 6A resolution 2019-3 attachment 6A in your packet. I might say and Dave Flake.
An amendment that was on the original agenda. This is adding right-of-way funds to a project in Streetsboro. It's a widening with a widening of State Route 14 between Portage Point Drive and Diagonal Road. It's adding a continuous turn lane and right-of-way is being increased by $174,000 to $346,000 and being moved from 2020 to 2019. Now, this phase of the project, the right-of-way phase, is being funded by Highway Safety Improvement Funds, HSIP funds. So this is one of those projects where we just have to show the change. It's not affecting our funding any. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Any questions?
I move we adopt the resolution.
Lou
Bertrand.
I'll second it, Marazzi.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you, Dave. Okay, this is resolution 6B, 2019-04. Dave will talk on this as well. Speak on this.
Okay. This is the new amendment that we just learned about, actually just learned about it yesterday afternoon. It involves a project in Akron. It involves the Main Street Corridor Phase 2 project. From what I understand, the estimate came back a little higher than was anticipated. And cost of the project, the total cost of the project increased from $11 million to $14.8 million. And this project does not have our funding in it, or as far as MS federal funding in it. It is being funded by an $8 million
Tiger
grant. And then the remainder of it is being funded through local funding. So the local funding will increase from $3 million to $6.8 million. So the Akron will be contributing $3.8 million to this project. And once again, we don't have any of our money in this project, but we have to show these type of significant changes. It is in the TIP, and we do have to, even though it's local money, we have to show these type of significant changes. So if there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them. We also have representatives here from Akron and from ODOT also that could answer questions maybe more specifically than I could.
Okay, are there any questions before we take a motion for Akron or ODOT? Okay. I need a motion to approve 6B.
Jim Ball, move to approve.
Is there a second?
Amy Moore, second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carried. Okay, we have other business. AMAT support for state funding increase, and Curtis is on again.
Yes, so the discussion came up when we were writing the letter. One comment I did receive back was from Metro RTA and their GM, Don, who's here, and said, hey, can we put in a plug for transit when we write this letter? And my response was like, well, said, you know, we don't actually have anything on the book. You know, we've had resolutions approving a gas tax increase, et cetera, but we didn't have anything on the books supporting a dedicated source of funding for transit. And so then kind of as we continued to talk, said, well, let's bring that to the committee to have that discussion about is that something that our committee can get behind. It's something that I think AMATS as a staff supports. The state of Ohio is, you know, 44th in funding for transit out of, you know, when it's like the 11th most populous state. And what they're doing instead is we're talking about this flex funding. And so transit agencies are getting from ODOT federal highway dollars that they're flexing over to the transit agencies that are only able to be used for capital. And unfortunately, I think especially, and I know, you know, Claudia, you could speak to this even more, and Dawn as well, that, you know, it's the operating concerns of those, you know, those necessary services are a lot higher than the capital needs. You can get the money to buy the bus, you can't get the money to run the bus. We did bring this up at TAC as a discussion only. There was some questions about, you know, can you show us the financials or kind of give us a sense of it? And so, you know, I think at this point, it's a discussion for the policy committee members. I'd like to hand it over to Claudia and Don, just if you want to add anything or and you know, what you're kind of thinking or what you're looking for, and then go from there.
Sure, thank you. After the TAC meeting last week, I spent quite a bit of time thinking about how to present that after Joe requested some more information, and then spoke to Curtis and decided that it's a bigger issue than just presenting our numbers. It's not doesn't just affect Pardo or Metro. It's a statewide issue, and the fact is that ODOT did a very comprehensive study that they issued in 2015, a statewide transit needs study, and there's a lot of information really well done that explains where we're at today and where the state said we should be changing to meet the increased demand for transit service as our state ages. Unfortunately, the state hasn't taken any of the steps that the study recommended, and so we're falling further and further behind. And so in our conversations, we thought it might be best to present a more comprehensive presentation or meet with the chairwoman or in whatever the committee desires to prepare this overview so that you will have the information that makes you feel comfortable that you understand what we're asking for. In a nutshell, a dedicated funding source so that we're not pitted against highway funding for transit needs. We support the gas tax fully. The governor's proposal went on record with that, and the additional funding that was requested or proposed to be flexed, again, that's really robbing Peter to pay Paul and doesn't solve anybody's problems. So we would appreciate support and looking for the state to actually identify a dedicated source of support.
Any discussion? Do you want to say anything?
No, I'll just
and I think our thought was, you know, would the committee feel more comfortable sort of seeing that presentation, or is the committee comfortable now just knowing what you do know about it and what, you know, you would prefer us how to go forward? I mean, personally, I think it is important. I think it's important that we're able to advocate on behalf of our transit systems. You know, I think the state funding side, I don't like that we're doing the federal flex funding for transit. I don't like that it takes away from highways, and I don't think it's the most helpful thing for our agencies. But again, we wanted to make sure that we put it in front of you because we realized, you know, we have not really taken a position one way or the other on this and, you know, wanted to get some direction from the committee.
So. I'm not sure what to say because I would be supportive of it, mm-hmm. but with the climate right now in Columbus, not if it means you're going to take it out of
well,
the money
right.
they're going to get.
And I think that was the other thing was that is this a better discussion that's for the general revenue budget that is June, you know, the end of, that's due the end of June. So I mean, but again, if they kick the gas tax out to that too, it's just like you said, it's just the water is very muddy right now in terms of, you know, where the money's going to come from.
But stand alone, I would be supportive of it. Mm-hmm. But just the situation right now is crazy,
right?
The way they're doing things.
Are there any other comments on this? Yes. Well,
would we feel comfortable? I mean, would the RTA's mind coming back in May and just kind of maybe even talking about what that needs study was and what are some of the things that ODOT, you know, was the goals that ODOT was trying to achieve that maybe we've fallen short of, and you know, and then we can also sort of get a sense of the climate as well of where we are. Hopefully, we'll know more then.
Get that on the agenda for May.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We're ready to go. Is there a motion to adjourn? Let's go.
Luber for a second.
Is there a second?
Right here.
Okay, thank you guys. Have a good week.